the Mike Tech Show, show number 571. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on-demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, facebook.com/miketechshow, and also MikeNationNet. And we have the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the audio, the show notes, everything you need. I have a jam-packed show today. I have stories from the trenches. I got to talk about my emergency Thursday night. Got a couple other stories. Need your help for a client issue on a laptop that I've ran into again and I can't solve. I have a stack of email. I also have a great Excel tip and some programs that you may or may not have heard about that I have not tried and was reading about this in Maximum PC, this latest issues. I want to share some things with you. So got a lot to get to. If you are trying to build a website for your tech repair business or your consulting business, please check out techsitebuilder.com. There you will have the hosting you need, the templates to be able to build your website. Check it out, techsitebuilder.com. Still need your continued assistance for the survey for the Unconvention that we're hosting in Toronto this July 22nd through the 24th. We need your help in filling out this survey, which will gather information that we can put together and come up with the sessions and get the right people and the right experts to host and guide those sessions. That link is going to be in the show notes, and you can find that over in the TechNibble forums. Let's start with last night's emergency. I was actually helping a listener from 3 to 5 o'clock, which is something I wanted to mention. It's another consultant who needed to pick my brain and get some help consulting for some tips on some, you know, and we're collaborating, sharing some things that he had some questions on how I do things. I have no problem doing that. I have a consultant to consultant rate, which is less than my typical rate for clients. If you reach out to me, if you hear this and reach out to me and ask me that, I will let you know what the rate is and we can schedule time and I can help you with individual issues and problems and things maybe with your business that might be able to turn things around or help you out. So anyway, I had that scheduled from 3 to 5, and then I had another client from 5 to 5:30, and I figured, oh, this is great. This can just lead right into the show as I get ready, have a quick dinner, and then go live around 7:30. That's my goal on a Thursday night. Well, at 5:30, I got a panic phone call from a client that's a doctor's office in Lansdale. Now, I have unattended access on their server, which is where the backups happen. Somebody in their office accidentally deleted a directory inside a directory on the server. We couldn't undelete it. For some reason, I couldn't connect to Instant House Call on the server. There was a problem. And now I'm thinking, boy, is there a problem with the server? So now this is why you want remote access. But what if the remote access isn't working? I was trying to talk someone through on the server to relaunch Instant House Call. That just was not working right. I said, I will come out. That's almost an hour drive. Knowing that it's an hour drive up, I might be there a couple hours. An hour drive back, no way there could be a show Thursday night. So that's exactly what happened. And I quickly canceled the show, rescheduled it for today, drove out. And because the backup from the night before was perfect, of course I have Shadow Protect. It's Small Business Server 2003. Yes, I know. We're planning the upgrade to a newer server. And we have to have a real server there because they actually host medical software that is critical to their business, and it's not cloud-based. There's no cloud-based option. So they have to have a physical server running SQL database for this software. Now, when I got out there, I just needed to reboot the server, and Instant House Call came up and started working, so not a problem. So I still have to look at the event logs and figure out what happened there. Shadow Protect, I was able to mount the backup from Wednesday night and was easily able to recover that directory. No problem. Was able to restore that. Big smiles on everybody's face. I was only there a half hour. Took care of everything. Then, well, as soon as I got home, I made sure I could connect in remotely to the server, and I was. That was Thursday night. It was a simple emergency, but it was a critical directory that had important files that I had to recover right away. They needed them before Friday morning. That's what you do with retainer clients. You drop what you're doing, your schedule changes, and you go and you solve their problems and their emergencies. And that's exactly what it's for. And the main doctor, just big smile on her face saying, that's why we love you, Mike. That's why we have you. It's clients like that that there will never be an issue on my retainer invoice when they see that every quarter, because I service them. I take care. When there's an emergency or a problem, I'm on it and I solve it. And that's what the clients need to hear. So that was Thursday night. I need your assistance on a problem that I literally just returned the laptop to my client and I was unable to fix this. And it's the second time I ran into it. This is a legitimate Dell Latitude purchased directly from Dell with a legitimate Windows 7 professional key and the sticker. Message pops up, and this is a legitimate Microsoft message. It's not a virus. There's no viruses. There's no malware. This system is clean, because that's the first thing I made sure. We get a message that says this is not, it needs to validate the Windows operating system to be genuine. And it takes you to a legitimate Microsoft site that you got to check, and it fails validation. This is legitimate, though. And there's the genuine icon when you go into control panel system down at the bottom for activation. It is genuine, and you get the blue icon there. This is the second time I've ran into this. One time, this was a couple years ago, and I know I brought this up in the show, and I'm embarrassed to say I got some feedback, and I can't find the feedback to this. I got to do some deep searches because a few of you had some suggestions that I had not tried, but I had already redid the whole system. We're trying to avoid redoing the system. As a matter of fact, he needed his laptop today and just picked it up right before the show. He's going to live with the error there because it doesn't unactivate the system. You can still run it. It's just an annoyance right now. But we want to get rid of it. I need your suggestions. I'm out of ideas here. What can I do to try to fix this? Have you ran into this? I need your help. If you can send that to me, I will talk about it on the very next show, which brings up, when is the next show? I'm recording this on Saturday, February 13th. There's no show next Thursday, so the following Thursday will be the next show. The next live Mike Tech show, which will be show 572, will be Thursday, February 25th. So mark that down. Figured I'd mention that. I have a few more stories. Yesterday, I spent all day with my son installing all the equipment for the new dental office. Verizon was out there twice to make sure the Fios connection, the phone, everything was tested, everything was working. They sent me pictures of the closet. It looked great. We got there. Everything looked good. The first thing I did was took my test telephone to go right to one of the jacks in one of the offices just to make sure that the phone was properly patched into the 66 block. That was good. But no internet access. No matter what we plugged into, and I unplugged my laptop directly into the router, I pulled an IP address. No internet. I logged into the admin of the Quantum Fios Gateway router. It's pulling an IP address from Verizon. Says it's connected, but we have no internet. I checked the DNS. The DNS was fine. I even changed the DNS, thinking maybe it's a DNS issue. That's why we're not resolving. No. I call Verizon. They said, oh, the account's been canceled. I said, what do you mean the account's been canceled? You've been here twice. What a nightmare working with Verizon customer service. They had to go through creating a whole new account and activation for the service and said, you know, it'll be activated in a couple days. I said, a couple days? I'm on site right now. This has to happen now. I want a manager. I want a supervisor. I'm now going nuts. And see, I lost my temper. And when you do that on tech support, they don't want to help you now because now I'm being looked at as a raving lunatic and they don't want to really help me. So luckily the administrator for the office, who was the one that was originally ordering everything and was dealing with the Verizon nightmare up to that point, I put them on hold and I said, you need to now take over because I'm now going to be unreasonable. I was the bad cop beating them up. I said, be nice, be firm. She went on and she was still on for another hour. They had to redo a credit check for the doctor. They had to get the EIN number again for the business. It was a nightmare. It was a 3-4 hour process that even it took another hour. It wasn't until almost when we were done that we finally got internet connectivity. And then I was able to do a bunch of testing. I had to get some drivers, had to get some things. It was a nightmare dealing with Verizon tech support and customer service with this. And there was nothing technical wrong. Everything was hooked perfectly. It was an administrative thing. I've had this with Comcast. They have such a horrible systems in place. These huge companies that provide all of these business services and internet. It's just mind-boggling how inefficient they are and how, like, Comcast has three different ticketing systems that don't talk to each other. It's a nightmare. Anyway, that was Verizon. We finally got it all working. One of the harder things was the Dell Optiplex small form factor, trying to squeeze that in to a cabinet in an exam room where the cabinet has all of these tubes and the nitrous oxide and all the things that you think for a dental office. When you look behind, you see all that equipment. Now think of squeezing a computer in there and then having a keyboard, mouse, and monitor. Very hard, very limited space that we're given for the computer. Very limited space. The network closet was very tiny. And this is a brand new constructed office. And I actually did a walkthrough on New Year's Eve for this office. And we went over a lot of things, but somehow the network closet got smaller without my knowledge. Not a lot of space. And we didn't know the cabinets that these computers were going to be in at that time. Now that I know, I'm actually, and I recommended this, as they light up more exam rooms, which they're going to be 4 more exam rooms, in the course of a year, we're going to take these two computers that we just put in the exam room and move them to like administrative offices and different things where they need more computers when they hire more people. Right now, this is a startup dental office. So, you know, 2 people right now that's running it. Once they grow and they need those two computers, we'll move them out into regular offices, and I'm going to get custom-built, very tiny computers that with a nice like 512 gig SSD, 8 gigs of RAM on a nice little box that we could put Velcro on it and just slap that on the side of the inside the cabinet, and it will fit perfectly. Now that I've seen the setup, I'll do wireless keyboard and mouse, but we need two video ports. Think of a dental office. You need the monitor for running the software that they're entering everything into and bringing up their x-rays. And now they want to show the patient the x-ray. Big monitor on the right-hand side up right below the ceiling in the corner of the exam room with an HDMI cable running all the way to the back of that cabinet. So I have to have HDMI and DisplayPort right now. So, which are two small enough ports. So we got to get a small enough footprint box that can have the dual video, so we can have that monitor so they can easily put things on that screen to show the patient. Like, let's say it's Invisalign for their teeth for braces. And you can tell I'm familiar with this because I have dentists. They will show you the progression of what's going to happen with your teeth. And it's like a little video almost of like a slideshow of what's going to happen with your mouth based on the progression of the Invisalign braces as you go forward. So there's lots of things that they can show. And think about this. Anytime you've been at a dentist and they're showing you your x-rays or everything, well, think of a nice big screen up there that they can easily show you. So we're making this. The office is beautiful. It's modern. It's nice. It's comfortable. I have guest Wi-Fi going through the office. So any patient that comes in there, you know, they're going to be able to get on the guest Wi-Fi and have really good internet access and remain HIPAA compliant throughout all the connections. That's the time to work on a new business when I get in there at the very, very beginning, so I can get everything set up perfectly, so it'll be easier to support. I'm looking forward to continuing to help them. Something else real quick. I want to talk about utilities here and some programs. I was reading Maximum PC, and there was a tip on your music player. If you don't like iTunes, like me, I don't like iTunes. And as a matter of fact, I haven't found a good music player that I'm comfortable with. And I've tried a few. I actually use Windows Media Player, and I hate it because that actually locks up sometimes. I've never heard of Music B, and this was recommended by Maximum PC. I got to give this a try because I love playing music, and the website's getmusicbee.com. Check that out. I'm going to definitely check it out. It's free. It's open source. This could be my new music player. Another recommendation was Windows 10 eliminated Media Center, and some of you want that. There is a program called Kodi. Again, this is new to me. KODI 16, Release Candidate 3. I'm going to have a link to that, and that's at lodi.tv. Taz Media Monkey recommended. I've used that. It's just I'm not a fan of that. FUBAR 2000, I've tried, and I'm just not a fan. Lodi TV, they recommended a couple other things that you may want. Next PVR, if you want your Media Center to be a DVR, then there's the program Next PVR. And then with that, there's the CCCP project, which is the Combined Community Codec Pack. And it's a simple playback pack for Windows with the goal of supporting the majority of video formats in use today. If you're going to replace your Media Center, you need these three programs, and they're all going to be in the show notes. So we got Kodai, NextPVR, and CCCP-project.net. Another recommendation, driver update from Slimware Utilities. I am always on the lookout for a really good driver update program. I'm going to try this out. So this is, I know it was Driver Max I used to use. Anyway, check this out. Driver update from Slimware Utilities, Inc. Again, I like Maximum PC, and their recommendations are usually spot on, and I really like their recommendations. So when they recommend something, then that's goes to the top of my list for trying it out. This tip comes from Winston Wolf. He texted me this week and said, Mike, I think you're going to be interested in it. And I have actually talked about this, but have not found the permanent link. How to open Excel files in separate windows in Windows 7. This, you can download this easy fix, and it will do the registry update that's required. If you want to do it yourself, the instructions are also in there. And this is from Microsoft, how to open Excel files in separate windows in Windows 7. If you're interested in that, if you got clients that's interested in that, check that fix out. I know I'm going to download that fix and have it on my USB stick for my toolbox. And if a client asks for that, I can just launch it. I still have a ton of Windows 7 clients. Let's get to some email. This is from Ty. Hello, I've been listening to your podcast and love it very much. I have found myself needing to create income. Computers have been a hobby, and I'm building my own computers and troubleshooting them for close friends and families. My current job helps pay the bills, and I'm happy with my current job, yes and no. I know it sounds like a bag of mixed stuff here. Anyway, what it boils down to, I want to spend more time at home. I guess what I am asking is what I will need to start off as a startup besides the tools which I have. You need customers. One of the hardest things to do is get customers. I wouldn't worry about your business license yet, getting an EIN number, get clients. That's what I did. I get clients, and then the other stuff folded in as necessary. You got to get out there and you got to do it. You said you've been building computers and doing stuff for family and friends. Now you want them to refer you to their friends, to their neighbors, and you want to start. You want to listen to my show a couple weeks ago about how to embrace consulting and your IT business and building that out. You want to go back to tech-vets.com, the other podcast that I host with Carrie Holzman. Every show was about how to build out your repair business, your consulting business. Tons of content out there that you can listen to that can help you. This is from Terry from Arizona. Always enjoy your shows. When Windows 10 first was installed on my Asus Ultrabook in July, the boot times were longer than Windows 8.1. After the latest Windows 10 updates, my Ultrabook is now booting in less than 10 seconds again. I was wondering if others are experiencing shorter boot times now. So that's interesting. I have to check. I haven't noticed. I've ran all the latest updates on my Surface Pro, which I have the Surface Pro 3, which I run Windows 10. And then I also have a Lenovo laptop with Windows 10. And then my test machine back here. All of them are SSD drives and boot pretty fast. And yes, I did notice Windows 10 kind of slowed things down from Windows 8 a little bit after the initial updates. And they're constantly doing massive updates to Windows 10. It wouldn't surprise me that that is helping you. With Windows 10, you have to be constantly applying the updates. Well, they force it anyway, unless you have the Pro, where you can delay. If you have Windows 10 Pro, you can delay the installation. This is from Carlos. He is Tech to You in the chat. Love the show. I listen to it all the time. As you know, Microsoft will be pushing the Windows 10 update with higher intensity, even in domain-joined computers. I completely disagree with that, and I hope Microsoft doesn't automatically install, because that would kill some of my clients right now. You've commented you have clients to which this will create total havoc. I agree with you on how this is terrible from their part. I ran into a couple of articles which could be beneficial on blocking the notification so users won't attempt to install the update. The first link talks about the issue and how to block via a registry hack for home users and non-domain computers. I'm going to post this. Here's my problem. I've went through all these. They don't work. I've actually tried this on a system and applied the changes. I took a test system with Windows 7 and the icon still comes back. It still tries to push. I've tried a lot of these where listener Robert sent me in the links. Robert, I've tried them all. They don't work all the time. There's no universal fix for this. And you can try this one and see if it works. The second article talks about blocking the notification via a group policy. Now that may work. This is great for those clients on a domain who do not have a WSUS server in place. Well, see, that's the problem. Anybody that has a domain probably has WSUS in place. But even with WSUS, you can go in there, and I've done this with Outlook updates, where you can go suppress those updates from being pushed. So whether you have WSUS or not, you can stop Windows 10 via that way. That's a great idea. And I'm going to attack group policies on clients that are on a domain that absolutely cannot have Windows 10 yet. This email is from Don. Mike, you speak highly of Acronis True Image for moving a computer from regular hard drive to an SSD. Is there an appropriate license to purchase? It says single computer license, and he gives me what he was going to buy. Yes, it's the single computer license. Once you install it on the single computer, create a media USB, bootable USB, and then create a bootable CD, and you will be able to then take that to any computer, even though it's a single license that you're buying for your computer to actually install in Acronis. Remember, we're not installing Acronis on these other systems. We're using the Acronis boot utility to do the backup, to do the restore, to do the clone. Great segue to this email. I enjoy your show greatly, and I have a few questions from your show 569, how to get business clients. I understand that you use Acronis for your residential clients and Shadow Protect for your business clients. No, that's not what I said, and that's completely incorrect, Don. I use Acronis to clone, whether you're residential or business, I use it to clone drives. That's it. That's my basic purpose of, and occasionally I will use it to do a full image backup. Shadow Protect, again, is not just for business clients. I have lots of residential clients that want an excellent backup solution for their desktop. Then I recommend Shadow Protect. Don't confuse those products. They're two very, very different products. I would like to know, how do you purchase Acronis and Shadow Protect for your clients? He goes in, he wants the advice, do I let them purchase it? Sometimes. Here's what I do. Acronis, I buy from Amazon. I look for a discount from Amazon or Newegg, and I buy Acronis. But I don't have to buy multiple copies of Acronis. I only need the one. Once I got my Acronis, that's it. Shadow Protect, very different. Shadow Protect, you can become a reseller very easily, but you don't buy from Shadow Protect. Call StorageCraft, and there's a form to fill out to become a partner. They will send you the distributors that you can go to. Now it's up to you to go to that distributor. You're going to need an EIN number. They're going to want your tax return if you want any kind of terms. They're going to want a credit card on file. They will put you through an intense application process in order for you to be able to purchase from them, because you got to prove you're a reseller. You got to send them your tax IDs, your sales and tax form for the state that you're in. Lots of things that you're going to have to do to prove you're a reseller. If you don't want to go through that, find a partner that's already been through that and buy through him. He'll get his volume up and maybe he's just split the profit. So that's another option, another way to do that. But you can become a partner, but you don't buy direct. If I'm on site with a client, and if usually this happens if it's residential and they need a good backup, I'm gonna, you know what I do? I walk them to go online and buy it, and I don't make any money, and I just get it installed and I get the key. As a matter of fact, I've been doing that quite frequently just because the pennies that you're going to make, you don't even make 20%. Sometimes it's not worth it, and you just want to get the product in your client's hands. Two emails here, a follow-up from Jack about my comments on that he made where he couldn't find the show number after the pound sign. I heard your comments in episode 570 regarding my last note. One correction to your comments. When I play a show, the episode number does show up in the play box in the upper left. Note that Winamp is no longer supported and has not had an update in a year and a half. The only release is version 5.66 dated November 2013. I keep using it because it works great. Maybe on the next episode, you can leave off the pound sign and see what happens. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Maybe the pound sign triggers something. Nothing I am aware was changed on my end in 2015. So this is from Jim. Thank you for the follow-up. Kate also followed up and noticed the same thing. The iTunes feed also hasn't displayed a show number since November of last year. I checked the feed and I've attached a screenshot. I think the problem is your feed and not your listener's Winamp. I am now running the latest version of iTunes on Windows 10 machine and I see the same thing. That was from Kate. On this show, I am going to make a little change in the ID3 tag and see what that does. It's going to be minor. I'm going to take the pound sign out and I'm going to put the word show and I want to see what happens. I think Kate's on to something with the feed coming from iTunes, and I got to take a look at that, and that could explain everything. That's it. If you purchase from Amazon or know anybody that purchases from Amazon, please use my Amazon link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same. A small commission comes back to help support the show. I really appreciate that. Again, that's amazon.mikenation.net. That's it. I will see you back here live on Thursday, February 25th. Have a great 2 weeks. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.